as Sam said, we're in our second message in this series we've called Fitness. And I want to talk with you today just about that greater aspect of what it means to mix it up. Last week we looked at, as we're the body of Christ and He is our head, and we make up the parts of His body that function in this world, we do so with this overarching aspect of unity. That the Spirit of God has been placed in every believer, and that in that context, we've all been given a gift or given gifts to serve the body. And we talked about that last week. We'll drill down more in the text today, and we'll see that again just as a reminder. But as I was growing up, I began to learn the value of mixing it up. Mixing up exercise for the purpose of fitness, for the purpose of being overall healthy in a physical way. Now, as a child, growing up, my grandfathers and my father would never have let me go into the gym. If they would have caught me in a gym, they would have marched right in with some tool. They would have handed me the tool in replace of a dumbbell, and they would have said, "Listen, do you want to work out? We got plenty of work out there for you to do. And you'll be working, you'll just be working outside. So you want to work out? Get to work out there, all right?" And they would have sent me out there. I would have never gone to the gym, really. I wouldn't have. I would have been hoeing tobacco or suckering tobacco, as we said in Kentucky. I would have been working in a hayfield, or I would have been cutting the grass. I would have been doing something with some immediate benefit to the people that were in authority over me. That's just the way it worked. But as I got older and I went to college, I didn't have that kind of pressure on me anymore. And I was around guys who were athletes or had been athletes in high school. And we began to go to the gym there at Western Kentucky University. And the gym was in the football stadium there at WKU. I went just a couple years ago for homecoming, and that room is still there. It's no longer a weight room, but that room is still there. And I have great memories about working out, exercising with those guys in there. They taught me how to lift weights, and I began to develop a love for some sort of weight training. And I learned real quick that you didn't isolate certain muscle groups just for the benefit of that particular muscle. You didn't go to the mirror and say, "I want bigger arms, so I'm just going to exercise my arms." You will look goofy if all you do is build muscle in your biceps. You'll look goofy. You will look strange. That's not the way exercise is meant to be. And yet there were some guys that did that. I think I shared with you last week that there was this guy by the name of John. I love John. He was from Illinois, and he taught me a lot about exercise. And from the waist up, seriously, John looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Incredible physique. I mean, not only was he good looking, had great hair, but from the waist up, I mean, he was every woman's dream and every man's regret. But when John got up to walk to the water fountain, there was a strange, the guy looked like Pee Wee Herman from the waist down. I mean, he was this big around walking on these little sticks over to the, I mean, not only did he miss leg day, he missed leg life. He never worked his legs. And so he was grotesque in the way he looked. And once again, it was a further confirmation that when you exercise physically, you've got to mix it up. There's cardiovascular exercise. There's exercise that benefits your legs. There's exercise that benefits your heart. There's exercise that benefit, you know, your back and your shoulders and your chest and your stomach. You put all this together in this holistic variety of exercises for the benefit of the body, for fitness. And the Apostle Paul is trying to get us to see in this image of the body, this fitness that we have in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul is trying to get us to see that as for our physical bodies, so for the church. So for who we are as the body of Christ. And Paul lays this application or illustration against a problem. It's a problem that he sees in the Corinthian church. These people are full of themselves. It's as if they want the Apostle Paul to show up and just blow the horn and say, "How wonderful you are as a church." And Paul says, "Man, if I've got to make a diagnosis on you, you're incredibly selfish. And you're so selfish that the things that ought to be speaking who we are as a church in selfless sacrifice as Jesus was and so through us in this body, you're even making a mockery of the highest symbol, the highest ceremony that we partake of in the church. You are taking the communion, the Lord's Supper, that little cup and that little piece of bread, that emblem of suffering and sacrifice, and you're making a mockery of it in your approach. If you've got your Bibles, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we want to look at the problem before we address the application for us today. Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you are in a hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. And as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. Some of you are without, just kind of watching the rest of you get stuffed and wasted. What? Paul says. Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? You want me to brag about this? You want me to praise you? Certainly, I will not praise you for this. Paul goes down in verse 27, and he says, so when you come to this communion meal, you need to come with this perspective. Anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily, what does that mean? We're going to find out. Any of you who comes to the bread and the cup unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And then he says in verse 28, that is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. The emblem of sacrifice and selflessness, before you engage in that activity, remember that if you, verse 29, eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring, discerning, recognizing the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And I agree completely with what Gordon Fee, that great biblical scholar, is saying about this passage, that Paul is using this in a duality. He's using this as a play on words. He's saying that as the cup and the wafer represent the body of Christ that was sacrificed and shed for you, as it represents your consideration of that selflessness and sacrifice, you also understand that you recognize who you are by honoring what we have with much gratitude in the body of Christ, that is the church. What he's saying here is, as the physical reality of what Jesus' body represents to us in this meal, you need to understand that you take it in the context of the body. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup, recognizing the physical sacrifice and honoring the Lord in that, without honoring this body, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Paul is saying that in the very ceremony that we embrace here in this church and other places, we don't do that in isolation. We don't do that just with this individual connection between you and God, ultimately on your own in that great American spirit with the true grit of independence, right? Paul says you don't sit here on Communion Sunday and put the reins between your teeth and sit on your horse the way John Wayne did and take on Ned and his men, because it's all about you and God and only you and God alone. You consider that in the context of the larger aspect of who we are as the body of Christ. Paul is trying to help us see that as we get fit, we do so in a way that requires our cooperation within this unity. Our cooperation within unification is what being the body of Christ is all about. Cooperation, working together within a unity, within this unification. And so he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to spell this out for us, how we do this. The human body has many parts, Paul says in verse 12, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some of us are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Now, as I look around, I don't know that any of you would raise your hand and say, I'm Jewish. I don't know that you'd say, I'm Gentile. Some of you, nobody would say, I'm a slave. Some of you say, no, I'm free. I mean, I don't know that we would make those distinctions. But if we walk the halls, the seats, the rows of this church, we would find that there's all sorts of diversity here. There's ethnic diversity. There's racial diversity. There's gender diversity. Some of you are boys. Some of you are girls. I mean, there's an aspect of social background. Some of y'all come from the other side of the track. Some of you, like I did, some of you are on this side of the track. Some of you are professional white-collar folks. Some of you have had your hands dirty all your life, and you make up that great establishment of America called the blue-collar world. You know what it's like to be diverse, whether you recognize it and celebrate it or not. And we do so in the common thread of who Christ is in us. Paul says we have all been baptized into one body. He's not talking about water baptism. Their water baptism. Water baptism is a picture of this baptism. We've been immersed into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that Spirit. As the Spirit put us in Christ, in Christo in Greek, the way Paul says it, in Christo, he uses that phrase more than 100 times in the New Testament. In Christo, we've been placed in the person of Christ spiritually by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has put Christ in us. And in that unity, we share it together as the body of Christ functioning in this world. And we get fit. Our fitness depends upon cooperation in the midst of this unification. And we do that, Paul says in verse 7 of chapter 12, by recognizing that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. That's the backdrop for all of this. That's the backdrop of understanding why we have to mix it up. Why it's good for you and I to be different in this body. We fall off the log in America. One of the reasons that some of you stayed away from church is because you don't recognize your place in it. You're like, I don't want to go over there and have to conform to that. I want to wear my hair that length. I don't want to, dress like those people dress. I don't want to have to, work in establishments that those people work. Right? I want to be able to consider who I vote for or whatever. I mean, you put labels on all these things, and I'm saying, look, if you feel different than us, come on in, because we need you. It's the diversity that we have with each other in the body of Christ. As long as you've been baptized into Christ, and as long as Christ is in you, you belong in a local church somewhere. And I want to encourage every one of you, if you don't have one, to consider this place as your home. Because variety in the body compels us to respect our diversity. It's our variety in this place that compels us to respect how diverse we are as a people. And Paul approaches the application for us in today's message in three different ways. We see that variety in the body compels us to respect our diversity, and he does that first and foremost by showing us that by respecting our diversity, it will keep us from an inferiority complex. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. And if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, recognize the inferiority there? The foot has an inferiority complex. I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand. That doesn't make the foot any less part of the body. And if an ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye. Hear the inferiority in that statement? Would that make the ear any less a part of the body? The answer to that question is a rhetorical no. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies physically have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but there is only one body. And Paul is saying, as for the physical manifestation of this truth, so the context of the church. Respecting our diversity will keep us from the inferiority complex. You know one of the things that breeds inferiority? It's the way generationally we've defined the church. Because many of you, if not most of you, believe that the church is something you go to. That you're not the church until you get there, until you get here on Sunday morning. I'm going to church. It's either a building or it's at least, okay, I'll embrace it as the people. Okay, the church is the people, are the people. Great. When I get there, I join them in praise and worship and prayer, and that's when I'm the church. No. No. Put that misrepresentation, bury it. Put it as far away from you as you can possibly put it. Yes, when we come here together, we look around and we go, yes, this is who we are. This is the body of Christ that's called Christian Fellowship Church. But the reality is that when you come in here and you look around and define this as only the church, you see people in leadership and you go, well, I can't sing like her. And you descend to this inferiority level. I look around and see what people are doing here. Man, they're extroverted. Or they're talented in certain ways that I'm not talented. I can't do that. And so you develop this inferiority complex because you've limited the way you define the church. This is who we are in worship. But who we are as we walk out these doors is much more important to the complexity and the diversity and the function of who we are as the body of Christ in this world. So if you've just narrowly defined who we are as the church as something you get to on Sunday morning and you feel inferior because you don't fit in a place in that, man, let me free you from that. What you and I need to understand is that sometimes we have these behind-the-scenes events and missions and things that go on around here that you and I, the body is working in its functioning ways sometimes that we don't even see. Right now, your physical body is doing things that you're not even aware of. It's digesting breakfast, and it's not telling you about it. Thank God, right? Unless you've got indigestion, and then, yeah, it's telling you about it, all right? But there's stuff that's going on around you with people and in you as a physical human being that speaks to the fact that there are things that go on behind the scenes that you don't know about. And aren't you glad? Paul says that we should never be or feel inferior because we serve a God and we function in a body that isn't just limited to what we do on Sunday morning. And let me say this to some of you sitting here too that have an inferiority complex because you've suffered with some physical disability or some behind, you feel like you've had some behind the scenes gift for so long that you don't think you matter. Let me set you free from that. Sometimes you and I are called upon to be a part of the body that's served. That's your purpose. You function as a part of this body as someone who needs to be served in the situation or the environment that you're in. And you have a purpose in the body in being served because you're teaching other members of the body what it means to approach you at a level of service. God is using you profoundly in the body of Christ to teach the parts of the body that are serving you how important it is to be serving. Your purpose is instructional. Your purpose is valuable even when you are debilitated to the place to where you need to be served. Paul says God has you right where he wants you. And you should never feel inferior in that. In verse 21, Paul begins to show us here that not only do we respect our diversity by keeping us from inferiority, but we respect our diversity as it keeps us from superiority. He says in verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, right? In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary parts of our body. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that honor, extra honor, and care are given to those parts that have what seems to us less dignity. Verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, hand. You hear the superiority in that? I mean, what a lesson it would be if the next time a bug flies in that eye. You know? Okay, Mr. Eye. I'm Mr. Hand. Figure that out for yourself. How are you going to get that bug out of your eye? Because I'm not going to, you don't need me, right? You said that you don't need me. So in your superiority, you figure out how to get that eyelash that's wedged between your eyelid and your eye. You deal with that yourself. Maybe you can cry enough tears of anguish and pain to wash that out. But I'm not going to rub it because you don't need me. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I've never seen my spleen, have you? I've never put deodorant on my pancreas. But try living without them. Just because there are parts of the body that aren't visible doesn't mean that they're not important. And the visible must cooperate with the invisible or the less visible, and equally important are they as they cooperate with each other. You saw Robbie and Andrew Crow on the video talking about the generation now that's coming in. I don't know if you were aware, but this last week there's this thing in Evansville. It's a rite of passage for all middle schoolers. It's called Breakout. I have nightmares about Breakout. Breakout is where like 1,500, 2,000 middle schoolers from all over the place converge on CFC and Bethel and Crossroads. They kind of take the tour around the city. They do games. And you can you imagine the volunteers? Can you imagine the adult supervision that it takes to pull that off? We got people in this church that you may have never met. Some of these folks, 10, 20 years older than me, that stayed up all night with Evansville middle schoolers last week. Talk about the Congressional Medal of Honor. I will say that perhaps most of you have never even met Andrew Crow, our middle school pastor, but this week I can promise you that I'm reminded of how much a hero he is. How much a hero Andrew is, how much a hero these middle school volunteers who worked here selflessly to make sure that these kids knew that they were loved in this place. Just because there are parts of the body that aren't always visible doesn't mean that they're not important. And that guards us from feeling inferior, and it guards us from feeling superior, Paul says, in the body. And he lands this in the application of an understanding that by respecting our diversity, you and I will be kept from disharmony. By respecting our diversity, we will be kept from disharmony. I don't know about you, but I need all parts of my body working together. I want it working together. Even when I don't know what's going on, I need my body to be working together, even unconscious, subconsciously. And you do too. Because when your body rebels against itself, we call that cancer. And I don't have to tell you what that does to your body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, this makes for the harmony among the members so that all the members care for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all parts of the body suffer with it. And if one part of the body is honored, all parts are glad. And all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of that body. Variety in our body, of which you are a part or can be a part, compels us to respect our diversity, recognize it, respect it, be thankful for it. It keeps us from feeling inferior. It keeps us from being superior, and it reminds us that we function in harmony the way a physical body does. You might be saying, Dale, really? I mean, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with that. Sometimes I feel like I've hurt in the church, and I don't know that anybody's recognized that, you know? I can promise you that as a member of Christ's body, that those that you are connected to in relationship in the church suffer with you, and Jesus suffers with you. And the Apostle Paul got a lesson in this on the day he was saved. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, throw them in jail, kill them if necessary. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, the scripture tells us that as Paul was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my church? No. Why are you persecuting me? Because as you're persecuting my church, I'm taking this personally. It's my body that you're messing with. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. I don't have to tell you that if you have a stomach, if you have a stomach condition at 3 o'clock in the morning, your entire body will stay up with it. You can't isolate the pain that's going on in your stomach. Your whole body will stay up and will suffer with it. And maybe this is just a condition of getting older. I don't know. But right now, when my wife gives me these deep tissue massages in my trapezius, which is up here in my neck, these trapezius muscles, you would think in isolation, right around my neck, they rejoice. My arms go limp. But as I've gotten older, I recognize that in my rejoicing trapezius, I'm beginning to feel the joy flow through my toes. And my toes are celebrating with my trapezius, even though she's not touching them. I don't even get my wife to go near my toes. But the reality is that as my trapezius muscles celebrate the relaxation, so do my toes. And my toes rejoice with it. That's just weird, isn't it? But I mean, the reality is it's true. It's true. Because this body is in harmony. And if you're a part of the body, you will rejoice with each other. If you're part of the body, you will take care of each other. When you're a part of the body, you will suffer with each other. It's what it means to be the body. And as we exercise our muscles spiritually in this world to get fit, we do so in unity, not just for 1 hour on Sunday morning, but behind the scenes in the places where we work and the places where we go to school, we have been encouraged, perhaps here on a weekend, to function as our part in the body in the world. If you're a member of the great and invisible universal body of Christ, I beg you, my friend, to get fit in a local body called the church. I would hope you would consider us here at Christian Fellowship Church. But somewhere, find your fit for the betterment, for the overarching fitness that you contribute to in the body of Christ. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you followed Him by going through if you haven't followed Him by going through the ceremony of baptism, know that we can help you here with that. As the Spirit has immersed you in Christ, and as the Spirit has immersed Christ in you, make that profession and take that step toward baptism. We will help you get there if you have not done so. Embrace the mission and vision of a local church. Our mission and vision is very clear. Get involved in a discipleship relationship by being one who is discipling someone else and by being one who's being discipled by someone else. Where are you serving the body by making disciples of all people? If I were to walk these roles and say, how are you doing in the discipleship process, what would you tell me? And if you said, Dale, I need some help with that. My friend Chris Holtzmeyer, there are people here on staff as pastors in this church that will help you get plugged into the discipleship process. For you to truly function as a member of this body, we are in discipleship, serving and being served. And I would ask you to take some time and get connected here in this body by finding a place to serve. My friend Jeff Effinger's here, who you saw on the screen a few moments ago, who would love to talk to you about what discipleship looks like as a part of taking a short-term, week or two-week trip to some land that you can't perhaps even pronounce now, to go and serve someone in the name of Jesus. We exercise not just in the gym that is this sanctuary. We come together to be reminded of who we are. And who we are is the church, the body of Christ, set loose in the world. So let's mix it up. Let's recognize our diversity. Let's celebrate it. Let's be His body, as fit as we can possibly be for service. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Spirit that has spoken to hearts this morning. Have Your way in us. Have Your way through us. Lord, there is much in this passage to consider. Father, for those folks here today who are struggling with feeling inferior, I pray that the chains of that have been broken today. And that, Lord, you would see, you would help them to see just how beneficial they are to the body and where they need to be functioning. Father, for those here today who've taken an air of superiority and think that they're too high, they're too above any certain level of service, I pray that you would help them to see that there's no work. There's no work that they can't or should not put their hands to. And that, Father, maybe even in places where we're not called to serve, it might be our turn to serve. So help us to recognize that and to do something about it. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded that it's absolutely essential for the harmony of this church that we celebrate together and we suffer together, never losing sight of the fact that above all, you feel our pain and you sense our rejoicing. Lord, may we never lose sight of that, no matter what we do. For your glory, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thanks for coming. Hope you'll come back next week. Thank you.